In a landmark case for the U.S. biotech industry, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously on May 13th that farmers were prohibited from using Monsanto's genetically engineered soybean seeds to grow and replicate new seeds without first paying the company a licensing fee. The case Bowman v. Monsanto pitted the biotech giant against Indiana farmer Vernon Hugh Bowman, who had purchased soybean seeds from the bottom of a grain elevator, planted those, and then used the seeds produced for a second crop. Monsanto sued Bowman for $84,000 for his use of those seeds, which are genetically engineered to be resistant to the company's own herbicide, Roundup. Writing for the court majority, Justice Elena Kagan ruled that Mr. Bowman had violated Monsanto's patent rights. 90% of soybeans now grown in the U.S. are the genetically modified Roundup Ready brand and sold by Monsanto. Critics are troubled that the precedent set in this case will enable large multinational corporations to enforce patents on a variety of new life forms used in medical applications such as vaccines and new food products like GE salmon. The power of biotech companies like Monsanto are quickly becoming the focus of public concern. This year's federal farm bill, which was passed by Congress in March and signed into law by President Obama, includes a provision known as the Monsanto Protection Act that prevents courts from enforcing rulings restricting the sale of genetically modified food crop seeds. On the consumer front, many states are responding to grassroots campaigns demanding the establishment of new laws that mandate the labeling of GMO food products. Your reporter spoke with Bill Fries, science policy analyst with the Center for Food Safety, who talks about the significance of Monsanto's recent Supreme Court victory and state initiatives to mandate the labeling of GMO foods.
We were quite disappointed with the decision, and I think it's useful to put it in the context of, you know, kind of the broader issues with patents on crop varieties and seeds. In 2005, we did a report called Monsanto versus U.S. Farmers, and basically we looked at the law and we interviewed a lot of farmers who had been pursued legally by Monsanto for potentially or allegedly saving seeds that had been patented by the company. And as you said, most of these cases have revolved around Roundup Ready soybeans. You know, we've had a long history in agriculture of farmers saving seeds from their harvest for replanting the next season. And, you know, this practice is as old as agriculture. And with the rise of patents on seeds mostly since the 1990s, companies have gained the power to prevent farmers from doing that. And it's considered now a form of patent infringement to do something as simple and basic as, you know, planting seeds from your harvest for the next season. And what we've done is we've cataloged all of the cases, and Monsanto has pursued thousands of farmers for this newfound crime of seed saving and collected tens of millions of dollars from them. And Hugh Bowman's case is just kind of the most recent example of this.
Beyond this case, what are the larger issues in your view of for-profit corporations patenting various forms of life? Because that seems to be filled with a lot of hazard as we go down the path to the future and what more sophisticated technology might bring us in terms of foods or other new organisms.
Yeah, I think it's really, you know, a negative development. The whole purpose of patents is supposedly to spur innovation that's in the public interest. And yet what we've seen with patents on seeds in particular, there have been, you know, reduced offerings of affordable seeds for farmers. And the companies that now control the seed supply, if you look at the statistics, it's like five of the large biotechnology companies, Monsanto, Dow, Syngenta, DuPont, and Bayer. These five companies control about 58% of commercial seed sales. And what they're most interested in doing with genetic engineering is making crops resistant to herbicides that they also sell. So that's getting to be all that you can find now in seed supply in the United States. It's led to substantial increases in herbicide use, much higher, you know, rates of resistant weed evolution, and again, kind of a narrowing of seed options for farmers, and particularly the conventional seeds that are more affordable and that a lot of farmers would like to plant if they could find them. So I think it's really unfortunate, this idea that, you know, when you see how patents have been used by these very powerful companies, again, to restrict seed options, increase seed prices, and channel what innovation there is into these negative directions of increasing the use of toxic herbicides.
Bill, I wanted to ask you about the whole issue of labeling that's come to the fore in recent years. Many states now are pursuing mandatory labeling of genetically engineered foods in the supermarkets. Tell us, if you would, about these efforts and Monsanto's recent efforts to lobby the federal government to prohibit states from requiring labeling of genetically engineered products.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. In California, I think there was a major effort to get an initiative to label genetically engineered foods in the state of California, and it became very close to passing. And the only reason it didn't pass was because Monsanto and other big companies put in nearly $50 million in advertising to kind of cloud the issues and put out a lot of false messages, you know, just before the vote. Since that time, as you said, a lot of other states, instead of just kind of lying down and saying, oh, well, no chance, they've taken just the opposite approach and said, no, we have to have, you know, labeling. And, you know, there have actually been, in this year, 53 bills introduced in 26 states to label GM foods, which I think is a really good sign of how strong the movement to put the brakes on these crops is. It's really heartening to see that. And I just hope that we can finally get the FDA to see reason here. And, you know, what's interesting in this case, too, is if you look internationally, the United States is the exception among developed countries on this issue. 64 countries, both developed and developing, have mandatory genetically engineered food labeling. So the United States is really the outlier here, and we need to move on this.
That was Bill Fries, science policy analyst with the Center for Food Safety. Learn more about grassroots challenges to the biotech industry and GMO foods by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.